I was a little too quick for you, huh? No? Can y'all hear okay? Good. I tell you, that was wonderful. If you'll just pardon while we have folks exit, we have children that go to children's church. We have nursery that goes on in the back, and I'm not sure what the weather's doing, so I don't know where the children are actually. I think they're going to the pick and shed if it's not raining. If not, they'll be just right outside the door. I tell you, as I was driving here this morning, I've got to the point, it's probably a good habit that I do this. As I drive here from Lake City, it's about a 30-minute drive from my house to the actual gate out front at the Spirit of the Suwannee. And I've got to where I don't even have the radio on. I don't have any music playing. And it's not necessarily a conscious choice like that. I just kind of need to collect myself, collect my thoughts, and kind of get in the right frame of mind, not only to play and to worship with you, to sing with you, but then also to be able to preach and to teach and to open the Bible and communicate. And as I was riding this morning or driving here this morning, and it was just peaceful, quiet, except for one of my tires that is humming right now, and I got to get that fixed. Over the hum, I could, in my thoughts, what I was thinking was how blessed we are. Brother Pat, how far we've come here as the Orchard Live Oak. I think back to May of 2011, right? Oh, my. May of 2011, we held our first preview service here. And we had meetings that led up to that just as a staff, both in Lake City and your Live Oak staff, to try to plan, to try to anticipate, to try to cover all the bases, to try to educate ourselves. Because you know what? We've never done this before. We've never had to come and take a show on the road. We've never had to come and set up everything before, put signs out, have a screen that we have to lower, a band that we have to set up, tear down, use the house sound system and the board and the welcome table and to clean the floors and to set up the chairs. And some of you come every week, and I'm so glad you do, but when you come, it's all taken care of. And I want you to know there are a lot of people that are called by God to get here just a little bit early, to set up chairs, to take care of the refreshments, to take care of the welcome center, to take care of the sound, to take care of the PowerPoint, to take care of, I work on sermons all week long. Kevin and the band, we get together and we practice at least once a week. And it's so that we can glorify God and honor Him for no other reason. But by the way, that was fun this morning. That was fun watching Will tear through those tissues. I hope we got a picture of that. I hope that gets put on Facebook somewhere with some clever caption. Yeah, I'm here for you, man. Got your back. That's what I'm here to do, is encourage everybody, not to pick on Will, but let's all be an encouragement to Will. I had fun playing the guitar. I love to play it loud. I love to play it fast. All those things that I never got to do in church. Until now. Until now that God has called us, God has assembled us, and God is teaching us week in and week out. God is teaching us how He wants the Orchard Live Oak to be, to act, to be visible, what we are to do, how we are to do it, to let go of things. Maybe they are treasured, historical traditions. But they're traditions. And we don't exist to glorify traditions here. Why do we exist? Our mission is to love God and to love people. And if we have to do so in a non-traditional yet a biblical way, then we want to do it. A non-traditional but a biblical way. We want to reach people that won't go to a traditional church. We want to reach out to a community that's not interested in their traditions. And they're good, they're fine. And I tell you, if this makes you uncomfortable, then there are places where you can be comfortable. And that's okay. But we exist. We are here with a mission to love God and to love people. And not to honor tradition, but to reach people, to teach people, to make disciples. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when you come and you do what God has called you to do. But you have to kind of sit back occasionally and say, God, I thank you for bringing us this far. From May 2011, when we didn't have a clue, to today where we have this much of a clue. And we try to work on it every week. We try to not to make it a performance, but we try to be who God is calling us to be. And it's hard. It's hard to take all of that tradition off of your back. It's hard sometimes to let go of the only way we've ever known how to do it. But God is teaching us. I remember the first home that Florence and I ever bought. Not the first one we lived in because we rented for a little while. The first home we bought was in Chipley, Florida. I was working at the time, and I believe she was still going to school at the time. Aislinn had not been born yet. We bought a home on a graded dirt road. Now, let me tell you a little bit about me. I've never lived in a subdivision until I moved to Lake City. I have never lived on a paved road until I moved off to college, to Auburn. And even then, I had a cow pasture out the back window of my apartment building. So at least I felt home. Some of you are going, yeah, Auburn, we figured that. I'd never lived in a city until I moved to seminary in New Orleans to go back to school. And so we lived in this house on a dirt road. Aislinn was born. It was a quaint little house, 5 acres. It had this big barn. By the way, that's what sold the house. As soon as I saw it, I said, I got to have that. It was nice. It was wonderful. And I would come home from work in the evenings, and as Aislinn had gotten out of the infant stage into the temperamental toddler stage, you know what I'm talking about? Maybe it's just my child. I don't know. But I would drive home in the evenings and on the dirt road out in front of the house. And we were at a dead end. We were the only ones there. If a car ever appeared where our house was, they were lost or they were up to no good. And as I would drive home and get right in front of the house from the dirt road, I would see all this scribbling out in the dirt. I would see the letters of the alphabet. I would see the shapes. I would see the moon and the stars. And Florence was teaching a child in a way that may captivate the child's mind and imagination. Not with a book, but outside. Teaching her about God's creation. Teaching her about the logic that God has instilled in His creation. He is not a creator of disorder. There is immense order and predictability in His creation. And I would come home and I would see octagons, and I know that they would have described that. She would have taught that that has 8 sides, and it's drawn like this, and the stop sign, square, and then there would be the circle. So I equate my wife to the drawer of the circle. The teacher of the child, the circle maker, and the student. We have a book that Brother Eddie had given to us as a staff not long ago. I read it, reading back through it now. It's called The Circle Maker. If you have an opportunity to pick it up and buy it, by Mark Batterson. When I'm done with this series, you can have my copy. It's okay. I've read it. It's all up here now. But it talks about God teaching you and me how to pray. You say, well, didn't Jesus do that? Didn't Jesus teach His disciples how to pray? Yes, He did. We know that as the Lord's Prayer. But this book is about pulling examples from Scripture that help you and I, just like my daughter, temperamental adolescents, being instructed and being taught by God the Father, the Creator. And what we see time and time again in Scripture is God captivating people's hearts and their minds with His promises, inspiring people to do great things here, and teaching them, if you will, to circle whatever it is that God has laid on their heart in prayer. It doesn't say anything in Scripture about name it and claim it. It doesn't say anything about, I want $1 million, so I'm going to go walk around the bank until it's mine. You'll get arrested. You'll look weird. What it does teach us is how to be consistent, purposeful, and intent on circling what God has for you and me. It's a circle maker. I think as I was driving home in the evenings, and I'd come on that dirt road, the dust bellowing behind me, and I would come and I would see all of this education, all of this instruction that's gone on all throughout the day. Oh, it was a glorious time when it rained, because then it just washed everything away and you could start all over again. And how a teacher could instruct a child how to make a circle. Here's how God did it. Here's how God drew our attention. Here's how God kind of focuses us on how to become a circle maker, somebody that is intent on claiming the blessings, claiming the promises that God gives us. How God can lay something on our heart and in our mind, and it's more than just say in our nightly prayers, and God, I hope you do this for me. It's about being purposeful and staking a claim in and of this world to say, God, you have my attention. I'm going to circle this in prayer. I'm going to bathe it in prayer. I'm going to be so specific. God, I ask for this. And if it be God's will, then so be it. Joshua in the Old Testament, chapter 5, starting in verse 13. Joshua, as we know so much about him, he kind of took the lead, took the command to lead Israel into the promised land because Moses died. Moses could not lead the people of Israel. Yes, he led them out of Egypt. Yes, they crossed the Red Sea. Yes, he had some issues, and yes, he disobeyed God. And so it was not Moses' job then to lead his children of Israel into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land that God was giving them, had promised them. And so the command then moves to Joshua as the leader of the people, the children of Israel. And it says in verse 13 of chapter 5 in Joshua, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho," remember that name, Jericho, "he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or are you our enemies?'" Are you for us or against us? "Neither. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." He was from God. "And Joshua fell face down on the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?'" Have you ever prayed that way? Have you ever asked God? You know what my prayer, and this is a typical Monday morning taking my butt to work prayer. I don't know how to make it more plain than that. I don't want to go. There's a whole week's worth of stuff I don't want to deal with. Here's how I pray. God, forgive me of my sin. God, protect me and my family today. God, would you bless us today? God, would you change the hearts and the minds of people that are going to interact with me all week? God, would they not take my joy? God, would I be able to do great things for your kingdom? Most time it sounds pretty much like that. And so my prayers have become more of me, me, me. What I want, what I need, what I don't want to have to face. God, would you just intervene and end all of this craziness? Joshua fell face down and says, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" Wow, we need to pray more like that. God, what would you have in store for me today? God, what do you want for me? What do you want to do? What do you want me to do for your kingdom? What are we supposed to do at the orchard? How are we supposed to change? How are we supposed to evolve? How are we supposed to reach this city, this county, this area? How are we supposed to be relevant? What message does my Lord have for His servant? And in verse 15, the commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now in verse 6, as we read on, now Jericho, that is that city, it was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. Imagine this. If you're living in Live Oak and you look out one day and there's over 1 million families, soldiers, men, women, and children camped out around your city, camped out around your home. And it says that they had shut this city up so tight and they'd gone inside the walls and no one went out and no one came in. And then in verse 2, then the Lord said to Joshua, "You see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around." Here's where we get this circle maker. "March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast of the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. And then the wall of the city, that which is keeping you out, the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in." When I read this in Joshua chapter 5 and then on into Joshua chapter 6 verses 1 through 5, I see this first and foremost, that circle makers, if we want to be one, if we want to become one, we need to be able to see beyond what you and I want and be able to sense what is possible with God. Be able to see beyond what you would want in your personal life or personal gain or personal satisfaction or all these things. You know, the way I pray on a Monday morning when I go to work. To see beyond that, to know that there's something so much bigger that God has planned for us. That God has us here for that reason. As the orchard in Live Oak, surely it's more than just coming here and meeting every week. Certainly God has something bigger in mind. Some of the things that limit us is my brain. That's one of the things that's going to limit us. Because I can't think so big. I know what I personally want to see. I know what I personally want to achieve. But I want to know, I want to sense what God has in store for us. To become a true circle maker. To be someone that's so intent on praying for the promises and the completion and the satisfaction of God. To pray in such a way that you would encircle whatever it is in your life, whatever it is in your ministry, be it your marriage, be it your finances, be it your family, be it for the salvation of others, be it friends and co-workers, be it this church, whatever it may be, wherever we are to go, to become a circle maker, we've got to move beyond what we want and learn to sense what is possible with God. I'll just be up front and honest with you. What we're praying for as a church, and we're going to move in that direction, and we're going to circle it. And this is the thing. I don't know where it's going to be. God has blessed us with a facility. We've learned so much. There have been multiple things drawn in the dirt for us to learn because of this facility. But we believe God wants us closer to the city, in the city, in a facility where we can have a more relevant, secure, wonderful children's ministry. A facility where we can have a separated nursery that I don't have to worry about children interrupting me, and you don't have to worry about me raising my voice or the music being too loud and upsetting them. We want to be in a facility that actually facilitates growth. Now, we don't want to hang all of our expectations on, well, we can only do so much here. No, that's not what God has in store for us. But we believe God can use this. God will use this as a training ground, so that when He moves us, we'll make an immediate, relevant impact to Live Oak, to Suwanee County, to the surrounding areas. To become a circle maker, we've got to start seeing beyond what we want. Start sensing what is possible with God. If I were Joshua leading millions of people into this new promised land, I would want an escort. I would want the path to be level, smooth, and easy. I would want inhabitants of the land to just go ahead and flee. I would not want to have to fight. I would not want to have to live by faith. I would not want to have to risk something to gain what God has promised. But don't you see this? That's exactly what they had to do. They could see what they wanted, but they needed to learn how to sense what is possible with God. What does the Bible say about that? With God, all things are possible. All things aren't guaranteed. All things, He's not some cosmic check writer that's going to be issuing checks out of heaven. Oh, you want this? Great, we'll just give it out. But for us to be a true circle maker, to become one in our own lives, is to be able to sense what is possible with God. And I don't know why I struggle with this so much. All things are possible with God. That didn't sink in. All things are possible with God. What would keep us then from being that relevant hub of life change for this community? It's not going to be God. Circle makers see beyond what they want and start to sense what is possible with God. Notice as we pick up in verse 6 and move through, it's a big part, verse 16. Y'all just listen real quick and I'll read real quick. So Joshua the son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have the seven priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the people, "Advance, march around the city, with the armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord." Do you see that he had moved beyond this asking for what he wanted and starting to sense what is possible with God? Because of all of the military might that he had behind him, God wasn't going to use any of it to take Jericho. With all of the brilliant strategy, God wasn't going to use any of it. What was he going to use? Circle makers. Silly as that may sound, that's what he's going to use. And he ordered the people, "Advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord." And when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. And the armed guard marched ahead of the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the people, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day that I tell you to shout. And then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. And then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. Verse 12, Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days, just as God had commanded. And on the seventh day, verse 15, they got up at daybreak. They marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The seventh time around, When the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. We have not taken the city. We have not done anything militarily to warrant the city surrendering. We have not laid up ladders to scale the city walls. We have not placed explosives around the city to blow the walls up. We have not lined up and rammed the doors to try to crash the city. We have not done any of these things. The only thing we have done is be a circle maker. How do you become a circle maker? Commit to God's plan, no matter how silly it might sound. You mean to give you one? I'll give you one that you can commit to. On a weekly basis, I kind of know roughly how much revenue, how much tithe, how much gifts, how much offering money that comes in to do this work. Okay? I know what we're about to circle and what the need is. My analytical brain says 2 + 2 cannot equal 10. And we can have a room full of twos and ones, as Eddie said last week, and never make it to 10. But to become a circle maker means that you commit to God's plan. Let's back up. Let's think about Joshua. He met the soldier, the leader of the armies of the Lord, an angel, if you will. He says, what does God want to say to me? And then he said something that was totally non-military, that was totally outside the box. It was totally faith-based. He says, you and all of your military might, I want you to just to march around this city. I want you to do it once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, I want you to march around 7 times, and on that seventh time, I want you to do this, this, and this, and God will give you this city. Circle makers commit to God's plan, no matter how silly it might sound. Now, we got our eye on a facility in Live Oak. We believe this is where God wants to be. If God wants to change directions on us, that's fine. He can do that. But as a church, we're going to start circling it with prayer. Committing to it. Committing to pray for God's provision. One thing I love about the book, there's a great example. There's many great examples in here. And I'll just summarize. I'll share it with you. A man and a woman, husband and wife, a couple, found out that they were expecting. And so they started praying for their unborn child. And they prayed and they prayed every day, every night. They prayed for the health of this unborn child. They prayed for mental acuity, faculties, all of these things. And then they felt led by God to pray for, one day, pray for this unborn child's spouse. And this couple was not like me in Florence. When we went and got an ultrasound, we demand to know what we're having. I need to prepare. I need to color a room. I need to do something. But not this couple. They prayed that God would give them a name. And God gave them a boy's name. God gave them a girl's name. And the day that the child was born, gave birth to a son, healthy. So they gave the boy his God-given name. They raised that child. They watched him grow. They saw him go off to college. And then one day he brought home this girl and introduced them to the parents. Her name was the exact name God had given 22 years prior. Coincidence? I don't know.
No.
We can't logically figure that out. We would say coincidence or luck, but But I would say, commit to what God is laying on your heart. Whether it takes 22 years or 60 years or maybe even never, commit to God's plan. Commit to it. You say, well, Brother Sean, if you don't see any fruit that comes out of it, how do you know it's God's plan? Maybe God just wants you to pray with passion, with being intent, with purpose. Maybe God wants to so devote you to prayer that you're going to abandon that sin that keeps plaguing your life. Maybe God wants to so occupy your heart and your mind to His will, to His kingdom, that you'll just draw further and further away from this world. Circle makers commit to God's plan. No matter how silly it might sound. How's this? Circle makers commit to God's plan, and I'm just winging it right here. Circle makers commit to God's plan, not to the anticipated result. Not to the anticipated result. I've seen so many times God provide 10 times more than what we ever asked for, but never provide what we asked for. Commit to God's plan. Notice in verses 17 and 19 as we move on, it says, the city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute. You'd have to go back and read that whole story. It says, only Rahab the prostitute and all who are in it with her in her house shall be spared because she hid the spies that we sent. But keep away from the devoted things. He was saying, when the walls come tumbling down, we're going to ransack this city, but it all belongs to God. It's not for you. It's not for your glory. It's not for your gain. It belongs to God. It says, keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make up the camp. You will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and you'll bring trouble on it. I'll give you a hint. That happens later. Sinful people are sinful people. And you can only look at so much gold before you start to sin. If you look at gold instead of God, it's going to happen. And all the destruction, all the silver, all the gold, all the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord. They're set apart to God. And they must go to Him, into His treasury. You want to be a circle maker? Well, get this. Circle makers strive for God's work, not for personal gain. Circle makers strive for God's work, not for personal gain. I want there to be 10 times as many people for God's glory, not for Sean's ego. Kevin, it's big enough, right? Y'all have no idea how big my head is, my ego. The band seems to get an idea. They meet with me one more time a week than you do. They have a little more personal interaction with me. I'm nowhere near finished. Trust me, God is working on me. And this I need to read. This I need to commit to. Circle makers need to strive for God's work, not for personal gain, not for personal glory, but for His kingdom. So why would we want to be closer to the city or even be in the city, have better facilities, all these things, if not for God's glory? His ministry, not the OCC. Not the name, not the brand, not any of the traditional marketing that would go with it. Not for even bragging rights, but for His glory. In verse 20, it says that when the trumpet sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. And so every man charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord, and they destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men, women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys, just as God had said. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go to the prostitute's house, bring her out, bring all that belongs to her in accordance with your oath to her. So the young men who had done the spying went in and they brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that belonged to her. And they brought out the entire family and they put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. And then they burned the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver, the gold, the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house, just like God said do. Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. I love those statements in the Bible. I love that in the Old Testament. That's history right there. That is one of those things where that corroborative evidence that you look for, is this a historical account? What they would say is, I know it's words, it's written, be it on a clay tablet or papyrus, but look around. They're still living with us today. It happened just like this. You want to become a circle maker? Circle makers keep promises to God and to others. Circle makers keep promises. Ministry has been the most difficult challenge in my life and will always be. But I am here speaking, playing, doing whatever, because God called me. I can't explain it other than I just wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I didn't honor His call. It's more than just, hey, I woke up one day and I felt like I could do this. It's that there is an unquenchable need to serve God. And I've got news for you. Preachers, pastors, servants aren't the only ones that are called. You're called. You're called to serve. You're called to make disciples. You're called to be in a fellowship. You're called to build a family, build a church. You're called to be what God wants you to be in this world. There are days when I question what we are doing here, but I never question God's call for us to do it. There are times where I want to pull out the little bit of hair that I have, but I don't question God's call for us here. Circle makers keep promises to God and to others. Did you see that in Joshua? As silly as it looked, they circled the city that many times, saying, although we're big, strong warriors, we're just going to let the priests blow on their trumpets. Then we're all going to shout. And then God gave them the city. Circle makers see beyond what we want, and we learn to sense what is possible with God. And with God, all things are possible. Do you need to circle your marriage? With God, all things are possible. Now, in the world, counselors can fail you. But with God, He changes hearts. Do you need to circle your finances? Because you know when they're in our control, my control, your control, we make a mess. We make a mess. Will you let God straighten everything? Change your heart? Circle your family? Be specific and purposeful in praying, not just for their health, not just for their prosperity, but for their spiritual growth. I can remember pleading, God save my children. In spite of how I act and behave at home, God save my children. I ought to know all things are possible with God because of that. Circle makers commit to God's plan, no matter how silly it might sound. No matter the fact that we don't have the financial means to do what we believe God's calling us to do, but He'll take care of it. Let's not worry about that. Let's be a circle maker. Can you see God trying to teach us something about faith, something about service, something about suffering, so that one day we'll be a pillar, we'll be a lighthouse, we'll be immovable, unshakable. It won't matter what comes up. We have been there. We have done that. We have stood by faith. We have honored God. We have prayed circles around this thing. And God is for your glory, and He'll give it. Circle makers strive for God's work, not for personal gain. Circle makers keep promises to God and to others. So what's the takeaway? I need to wrap up. Quit raining. The takeaway that I get from this: seek God and determine His desire. You know, tomorrow morning when I'm going to work and I don't want to go, and I got to go in early tomorrow morning because it's the third Monday of the month, I have a teleconference, it starts early, and those are never fun. It's not enjoyable. Instead of praying in a very selfish way, I need to be more like a circle maker, like Joshua, and to seek God and determine His desire. What did Joshua ask? What is it that God wants to say? And start to pray that way. You know, the second takeaway is draw your circle. We can talk in terms of the orchard. We can talk in terms of church. But the fact is, you've got areas in your life that you need to intently and purposefully circle in prayer. It does not mean that because you do that, you're going to dictate the outcome. That's silly. And that's not based on faith. That's almost like treating God like a puppet. But if you pray, God, what is it you have to say? And God gives you that revelation. God gives you that word. God gives you that motivation or that inspiration, whatever it may be. And then you commit to yourself. You commit to others that you're going to circle this in prayer. Not necessarily literally, but you are going to circle this in prayer. God will change you. And the takeaway, the last one: commit to the end, not a time frame. With God, all things are possible if they happen this week. I pray that way. God, give me a sign, because I'm an impatient person. Give me a sign. I need a sign. I need something. Well, must not be a sign. Commit to the end, not just to commit to a time frame. Let me ask you this: what if 6 years from now we're still here? Will you still be praying for what God wants for the orchard? If 10 years from now we're still here, I'm going to have less hair, and what I have is going to be gray. And 10 years from now, I'm going to have one child out of college and one child in, probably. 10 years from now, I'm going to look a lot different. But if God still has us here, glory to God. That doesn't mean we failed in any way. It means that He changed us, and maybe He's still teaching us. You know, when I would drive home every day and on that dirt road, and I'd see all these shapes and letters and numbers and all these things, I saw the same stuff every day. And that's what it takes for a parent with a child: repetition, repetition, repetition. And not only do they need to hear it, they need to see it, touch it, taste it, feel it, whatever it may be. We're that way with God. So what makes you think we can go circle something in one day and learn our lesson? Will you commit to the end and not just a short time frame? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this day. Lord, I thank You for the rain. Immediately when I hear it, I confess, Lord, I'm thinking, oh, what an inconvenience. Oh, Lord, my wife's hair is going to get wet. But God, this is how You care for Your creation. And it's not about me and my convenience and my wants, but it's about how you choose to satisfy the thirst, how you choose to feed your creation, how you choose to nourish, how you choose to grow. Lord, I thank you for this passage of Scripture and for this message for this series. And Lord, I don't want there to be any misconception that we could just say whatever we want and expect you to jump. But Lord, that you would use this series to help mold us and teach us and mature us, make disciples of us, so that we would grow in our understanding that if it is your will, oh God, we want to be a part of it. We just don't want to be a spectator. We want to circle it and commit to it. Lord, we thank you for this morning, this time of singing, worship where we have met with you, teaching, preaching. We are blessed. And we are expecting great things. We give this to you as our offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.